The last couple of weeks we've been talking about being unshakable and noticing that there are people around us who serious stuff happens, deep tragedies, but they somehow are able to rise above these things. They're able to continue on with their lives almost effortlessly. And we wonder how that's possible. Because to each of us comes at one point or another something that can shake us to our core. There's a little sign in my friend's kitchen that reads, "Remember, as far as anyone knows, we are a nice, normal family." This is a very popular sign. I've always liked it because it speaks to me. I should have this sign in my house. And I think we can all acknowledge that the Cleavers and the Cunninghams are not real. They don't really exist. And deep down, I think we have a picture in our head of what a normal family should look like, but let's face it, there's skeletons in our closets. There are old scars, and there are new wounds, and there are countless disappointments, both big and small. Now, even though we don't like the word, most of us worry that at some point our families may border on being dysfunctional. Yeah. So we do our best to portray a nice, normal family and this outward image. Now check Facebook. It's a great place to observe what others want us to see about them. Everybody's smiling and happy and has a perfect family, right? Well, here's some comforting news. Every family is dysfunctional. The question is, to what degree? Family can be a wonderful source of comfort and grounding, but it can also be a hotbed for conflict, unresolved tensions, and grudges that have the potential to whip up major storms. Thankfully, there are steps we can take to ensure that our families are strong and to make sure that they're constantly safe havens of love and support. We can lift one another up on our shoulders. And we do that by lifting our family up on the shoulders of Christ. We don't have to struggle through family strife with plastered on smiles. God intends for us to cultivate unshakable families so that when the storms threaten us, we can withstand anything together. Nelson Searcy, in his book Unshakable, talks about the principle of first. He holds that God will bless the areas of your life where you put him first. First equals blessing. If you want God to bless your finances, you have to put him first in your finances. If you want him to bless your friendships, you have to put God first in your friendships. It's a very simple formula. Well, the same goes for family. Putting God first in your family means actively trusting him as the foundation of your family life. And this also means relinquishing desire for control. Now, there's three practical steps you can take to put God first. Focus your family on God intentionally every single day. Be quick to Forgive your family members when they wrong you. I know, these are sticky, aren't they? And prioritize quality time with your family. This is how we build a strong foundation. Now, in our scripture, we talked about Jesus comparing a foundation with how we live our lives, and that storms or troubles and trials are going to come along, and if we don't have a solid foundation in our lives or our family life, we're going to get swept away and we're not going to be able to handle what comes at us. But if we have that strong foundation in Christ, we're able to withstand anything that comes at us. And we can make our family life that strong foundation. So intentionally focusing on our family with God every day means integrating prayer. Now, it's possible that you already do prayer in your family, but if you do not, it may seem kind of awkward. Don't let it stop you. Don't let that stop you. If you integrate prayer into your family, I promise you, you will see the blessings. This means praying together. Now, I know it's cliche, but a family that prays together stays together. There's some truth to that. Prayer is extremely powerful. It's an extremely powerful tool. And when you pray together, God is very present, and God empowers a strength in people that pray together. Another way to bring the family together is a Bible study. Again, if this is not your regular practice, it may seem a little weird, but what would it look like to open God's Word together and explore that? My daughter's 11, and she's at that really fun age where we can do great things together and have deep conversation. One of the things that we're starting to do is explore the little nooks and crannies in this area. One of the places that we found is just off of Q, and I believe it's one area of the Conservancy near Middleton, but if you hike back, there's a spring there, springs, and it's a small pool of water, and the water is so clear. I've never seen anything like this. The water is so clear that you cannot see the surface of it. It is so cool to explore these places with Hannah and discover new things together. Your Bible study can be like this. You can discover things that you look at and say, wow, how is this possible? And how can I apply this to my life? Another way to intentionally focus your family on God is to bring God into the conversation. Okay, so think about any given conversation. How was your day at school? I need to go to the grocery store. All of these things, all of these everyday conversations. And think about how you can bring God into that conversation. Okay, so let's take something mundane like going to the grocery store. We're going to pick up some stuff. What is it that would help me serve God in my trip to the grocery store? Maybe we go together to the grocery store and we look for someone who needs a smile, a kind word. Or maybe we think about the food that we buy. Is it something that echoes out into the world? Do we buy something that is fair trade? Or do we help somebody with their groceries? Is there something that we can do together as a family that speaks God's love? And with all of these, prayer, Bible study, bringing God into the conversation, what are the challenges? What are the challenges to these things? And I'm curious, because I know in the back of your mind, you're thinking, yeah, but, what are the yeah buts? Ask my daughter that. She hates it when I say, what's a yeah but? What are the yeah buts to this? Don't let the yeah buts get in your way. Because if you let the yeah but get in your way, you crowd God out. Make room for God. Shove the yeah buts aside. Be proactive about this. And here's how you do this. You say, you know what? I know it might be weird, but we're going to start praying before we have a meal. And I will start. And maybe it's just a simple thank you, God, for our time together. Thank you for this food. But be proactive in saying, this is what we're committing to. The second thing in the principle of first is to be quick to forgive. That is so hard, especially when our emotions are raw or picked at. It's hard. One of the things that can help us, though, is to remember that every family is made up of flawed human beings. And when we take a look at the fact that whatever somebody does or says may not be so much about them being a jerk to me, but about their own pain, that changes a lot. That changes perspective. Every family member is made up of flawed human beings. You aren't going to get through life without being hurt. But it's those hurts that make us who we are. You know, we can go all day long and say, yeah, but there he is again, the yeah, but the person in my family hurt me. They say things to me that are hurtful. Well, that's part of life. We're going to get hurt. If we have a family, if we have people around us that we allow to love us and that we're going to love, we're going to face broken promises, and we're going to face disappointments, and we're going to face deeper issues that leave painful scars. But here's the cool thing about that. God modeled grace for us. So we have a model about what it can look like in our family when we are wronged, when we are hurt. We can offer the grace that God gives us. Now, this doesn't mean that we should put up with bad behavior. That's not what that means. If you are being abused or if somebody is intentionally hurting you, doesn't mean you have to put up with that. You know, if there's a situation that you need to remove yourself from, do it. But at the same time, it is possible to offer grace to forgive. In other words, don't put yourself in a position that's going to be harmful. But forgiving is a different thing. And acknowledging that that person has wounds, but it's not necessarily about you, that's huge. And then we have to release it to God. And this might be a process. It might be instantaneous, or it might take 10 years. But it's possible to do it. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we do say, forgive us our trespasses, our sins, our grievances to one another, as you forgive us. Let me back up. Forgive us our trespasses. Yeah. Help us to forgive others as you forgive us. There we go. We need to forgive others as God forgives us. And that's hard. But we have a model. The other thing we need to do is prioritize quality time with our family. I know it's hard. We have challenges. We are busy. We're exhausted. It's hard to do that. But there's some really good techniques to doing that. The first is being present. And that is really challenging this day and age when there's technology. I have to work at it really, really, really hard. When my daughter is coming to me and talking to me, and I have my laptop right here, the screen is right there, I need to shut it and look her in the eye and listen to what she is saying and stop thinking, okay, I'm trying to get this done before 5 o'clock, I'm trying to do this, and she's talking at me. No, that doesn't work. It doesn't work for me to say, yep, I'm listening. Prioritize time with your family. Be present. Even if it's for 2 minutes, even if you're super busy and you say, okay, you know what, I'm trying to get this done by 5 o'clock, but I have a couple of minutes right now, talk to me. Be present. Put things aside and be with your family members. Do dinner together. Oh, it is so easy. It is so easy to grab a bite and run. It is so easy to bring those electronics to the table. It is so easy to not do dinner together. But here again is about being proactive. Be together. Break bread together. Do you know how many times in the Bible Jesus said, I'm coming to your house for dinner. We're going to break bread together. This is extremely meaningful. It's extremely important to share a meal together because it symbolizes meeting our deepest needs. We're all hungry. We're hungry for things in life. We're hungry for the attention of each other. And when we break bread together, we fill a hunger. But we can also realize that we're filling each other's hunger for one another at the same time. And celebrate together. This is another way to prioritize time with your family. Celebrate the milestones together. Celebrate things together. Even if it's getting through the day. We got through the day together. We're going to spend 5 minutes and celebrate. And again, not every family looks like the Cleavers. Our family may be the neighbors next door. For many years, before Hannah was in my life, before I had been married, it was just me. And my family consisted of maybe a few close friends and neighbors. Family can mean different things, but the people that you choose to have in your life, be close to. And now, I think about Labor Day weekend, and people I've talked to about, you know, prioritizing family time, and yep, we're going away to our cabin or what have you, but let's go back to number one. We can prioritize quality time with our family and intentionally focus our time on God every day. And yes, Sunday morning doesn't have to mean either or. It doesn't have to be a choice between, ooh, I could be spending time with my family or I could be going to church. Bring them together. What a fantastic way to spend quality time with your family, prioritizing them and prioritizing a focus on God in your family. Perfect. We have the responsibility to build God-centered families. This is our task. If we want to form a family that is unshakable when stuff comes at us, God needs to be at the center of that family. God needs to be the rock that we build on. We have to turn our family over to God. That's tricky. We can't mandate the choices that our families make, but we can choose God to trust Him in the midst of all that goes on. Because stuff is going to happen. Bad stuff. Sometimes it's bad stuff from our own choices, and sometimes it's just the stuff that happens. And I think about things that come at us that we have no control over. Death or illness or job loss. Some of these things that happen to us. And it has the power, you know this, it has the power to rip us apart, or it has the power to bring us together. We have the choice, and by putting God first, we submit our family to a higher power than ourselves. Because, quite frankly, I myself, I can't keep my daughter safe. I can do my best to protect her. I can do my best to prevent bad things from happening. But at some point, I need to trust God and build her and myself so that when crazy stuff happens, that she's unshakable. This weekend, my daughter is with her dad in Kenosha. And he is going to be sitting her down at some point and telling her, having the discussion about her grandma, her other grandma, having cancer, and that she's not going to do treatment. I am hoping that I have helped build her house on a rock so that when that news comes, she can handle it. Doesn't make it better, but it means that she's not going to get swept away. We have the responsibility to continually, all the time, work on building this foundation. May God shine His light on you as you work this week to continue to build that firm foundation. Amen.